biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. And Pastor Rock, we received a request from a former congregant who had moved away, and I'd like to share his thoughts with you. He says, I was keen on knowing your thoughts on prophets, true and false, how to identify one, and if you identify a suspicious prophet, is it okay to warn a fellow believer? There are numerous prophetic ministries in India, inspired by some of the Western prophets. Some of them focus on prophesying names accurately, and they describe one's house and family situation without even knowing anything about them. Such prophets capture the imagination of people. Although they proclaim that Jesus is Lord, sometimes their ministries end up focusing on themselves. And another question is whether it is possible for prophets to be wrong when they state that it comes from the Lord. And if that happens, can it be a sign that a prophet cannot be trusted? So we'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Okay, a whole book's written on this topic. So let's just jump in. First of all, to prophesy is to speak forth, F-O-R-T-H, the word of God. Some people, when they hear the word prophesy or prophecy, think that it has to involve foretelling the future.
Right.
That is a type of prophecy. But there's much more to prophecy than foretelling the future. To prophesy is to speak forth the word of God. So when Paul said he would rather speak a handful of words in prophecy rather than 1,000 words in an unknown tongue, he was talking not about foretelling the future, but declaring the gospel. So in one very real sense, because Paul said, you know, he desired that all would prophesy. In a very real sense, any time a believer shares the word of God, they are forth-telling the word of God, and that is prophetic activity. Okay? So that's the prophetic activity that really is the domain of every believer. We're to share the good news of Christ.
Right.
We're to tell it forth. Then there is prophecy, which is foretelling, not forthtelling, but foretelling future events. And certainly you see much of that in the sacred scriptures. Isaiah prophesying about the Messiah that he would never see on this side of heaven anyhow. So much of the Old Testament is filled with prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, and much of the New Testament, prophecy concerning the second coming or the return of the Messiah. There are prophecies about the Jewish people. There are prophecies about the church. There are prophecies about the latter days and the Antichrist and one world government and one world religion, etc., etc., etc. So that's prophecy as foretelling the future. And there's far less of that going on. And no prophecy in our day has the same standing, if you will, as the prophecies recorded in Scripture.
Right.
So God is not adding to the Bible through prophets today. So if somebody who is prophetically gifted talks about something that is coming in the future, that's not the same level as of prophecy as Isaiah prophesying the coming of the Messiah, or Jesus prophesying about his return, or Paul prophesying about the latter days. Instead, when people have a word from God about something that's coming in the future, today I like to use the term a word of knowledge for those disclosures, for those revelations.
And that is a gift of the Spirit.
That is a gift of the Spirit, and it's a gift that I have been blessed to move in repeatedly in regards to this church and what God was going to do here, in regards to pregnancies, in regards to healings. I don't move in that daily, but God has given me words of knowledge for people being healed of cancer or some other serious ailment when man was not holding out any hope. God has given me words of knowledge for pregnancies and conceptions in people who had been unable to, and in one case had been scheduled for a hysterectomy. God, when I came here, gave me word of knowledge about how large the church would be after my first 10 years here, and it was fulfilled exactly. In my first church, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that he was going to grow the church to a certain size. And I remember the Sunday that the usher at the back held up to the glass window the count that day, and it was that number. So I have been privileged to move in words of knowledge. My father moved in that gifting. But none of those things add to Scripture.
Right.
Those things are God revealing how he's going to work out his power and his promises in specific situations. And that is a genuine gifting. And if it's authentic, it comes to pass. And I can literally say without hesitation, every word of knowledge the Lord has given me has been fulfilled exactly as given. Now, that being said, we are fallible.
Right.
And because of that, we can sometimes deceive ourselves into thinking we've received a word from God when actually we're receiving a message we really want to hear.
Right.
So,
exactly.
To protect myself from being a false prophet in the kind of scenarios I've described to you, I first test the word internally. And that's simply saying, you know, Holy Spirit, if this is from you, give me strong confirmation of that. I need to feel compelled to speak this. I think that compelling is what the prophets called the burden of the Lord. The burden of the Lord was upon me and I spoke. You know you have to say it, and I've known that experience. I've known that feeling. It literally is a feeling like if I don't articulate this, I'm disobeying God.
Right.
The other thing I do is, of course, I check it against Scripture. Because if it doesn't align with Scripture, it's not a genuine prophecy.
Sure.
God is not the author of confusion. And then thirdly, when I articulate it to the person, if it's something that needs to be directed toward a person regarding a healing, a conception, whatever, I always say, I believe the Lord is showing me that he is going to do such and so. However, if that is truly from the Lord, he will confirm it to you. He will not put you in a position of being entirely dependent upon me. So I always offer it up with that caveat.
Right.
That I'm a human vessel. I may have missed this, but I feel strongly enough that this is from God that I am going to share it with you. And again, the words God has given me about healings and things of that nature, I've shared them in that way, and they have all come true.
And in those moments of crisis, we are looking for those type of things.
It's why you have to be careful.
Right. And so in the one administering that word of knowledge.
Well, when I told a woman who had not been able to conceive, who was told she wouldn't conceive, who was a few weeks away from a hysterectomy, when I told her God was going to give her a child, if I wasn't sure that was from the Lord, that would have been a hideous cruelty on my part.
Right.
Just a hideous thing to do to a human being.
Sure.
But 2 weeks later, she shook my hand at church and told me she was pregnant. And 9 months later, I dedicated a beautiful Amen. Baby girl. And 22 years later, I did the marriage ceremony for that girl. So prophecy is, in the broad sense, telling forth. In a narrower sense, it is foretelling, but it doesn't add to Scripture. It falls into what I call words of knowledge, how God is going to work out Scripture in a specific situation, right. In a church, in a person, in a family, whatever. Now, that being said, there is a lot of false prophecy in the world.
Right.
Jesus warned about false prophets. Paul warned about false prophets. And a false prophet is somebody who, for a variety of motives, speaks for God when they really aren't speaking for God.
Right.
I say a variety of moments because they may just be misguided. If somebody has told them that every believer should move in word of knowledge, prophetic utterance, which isn't accurate, well, then they're going to go out and try to make it happen.
Right, right.
And then they'll just take any thought that comes passing through their mind and stick God's name to it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong.
That's right.
If you're sincerely wrong and you have a head-on collision, you're just as dead as if you were knowingly gone the wrong way.
Right, right.
So sometimes it's born out of sincerity but ignorance. Other times, it's born out of a desire to be a celebrity.
Mm, right.
To wield power and control over other people's lives. You often find in cult-like Christian churches the misuse of prophecy to intimidate and control people.
Right.
And a corrupt leader can use corrupt prophecy to impose his will. And that deserves a major league smackdown from God.
Absolutely.
Other times, it's for profit motive. Men or women who travel around the world speaking supposedly for God, and it's all a hoax. For example, there was a traveling evangelist in the United States, and he's one of many who has done this, who used to like to walk through his crowds and just walk over to somebody and say, "Your name is John, isn't it?" And they'd go, "Oh, my word. How could he know that?" So immediately he convinces the crowd he's getting these words from God.
Right.
And John, you've got cancer, don't you? Well, it was later discovered that as people were coming into the meeting, his hired hands were interviewing people. Why did you come today? What's your name? Boom.
Right.
And taking notes. And then he had an earpiece. And they would guide him.
Oh, boy.
Go to the second lady in, the African-American woman, second row, second in. Her name is Louise, and she has MS. So it was all a sham.
Yeah.
All a sham. Foistered on the unaware or the desperate.
Right.
And often the guys who do that do it because there's big bucks in it. They take offerings. They ask people to send in money to this prophetic ministry. So when somebody, first of all, speaks something that isn't consistent with Scripture, they're a false prophet.
That's right.
Or they're speaking false prophecy.
Right.
Okay. Could be a well-intended believer who's just, pardon the expression, stupid. Okay? but it is false prophesying.
Right.
It can be somebody who is doing it for a whole host of ulterior motives, all of them corrupt. And to me, that's more than speaking a false prophecy. That makes you a truly false prophet.
Right.
Those people are to be identified in the assembly.
Right.
Paul identified false prophets by name. They are to be outed before the assembly. If they will receive discipline, they need to be disciplined by the assembly. If they will not, then many times they're lone rangers, so they don't. They at least need to be identified by the assembly, censored by the assembly. Give them no pulpit, give them no platform.
Right.
And the flock need to be warned about them. Then you leave their judgment up to God. Aju was describing people who go about naming names and all of that. That to me is immediately suspect prophetic activity, because it becomes like a carnival sideshow.
Right, right.
You know, why naming people you haven't met in a crowd? Why does God need to do that?
Yeah, what's the point?
See, that's like showing I'm hearing from God. If it's from God, it'll be fulfilled.
Right. Right.
I have had instances where God has given me a word like, I believe someone in this service is going to conceive a child. And interestingly enough, just a few minutes ago, I was talking to a member of our staff in my weekly meeting with him. And he reminded me that in a Christmas service years ago, I spoke that word and then just continued with my message. And it was his mom. And she had not been able to conceive.
Wow.
And she took that as from the Lord and she conceived.
Right.
His sister. So the whole thing of walking through a crowd, your name is Bill, your name is... See, that's very, very suspect.
Right, right.
Now, if it's God, God doesn't need to show off. He could just lead that person to walk up to somebody and say, I believe, and that's how I would couch it, I believe God has shown me, and if this is from the Lord, he will confirm it.
Right.
But where you get that sideshow element, like, ooh, wow.
Right.
Almost like sanctified magic. Boy, my alerts go right up. My radar goes exactly right up. Because it's just, again, it's just a little too showbiz.
Right.
So there is real prophecy, and there is, sadly, pretty rampant abuse of prophecy. And most of it for issues of control or money.
Right.
But when you see it, censor it, identify it, confront them, call them out, because their souls are in danger.
Right.
But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and be suspicious of all prophecy, because there is real. So that brings us back to Paul's admonition, test all things.
Right, right.
Test it with Scripture. Test it by the outcome. Test it by who's speaking. Test it by its content. And hold fast to that which is good, and censor that which isn't.
Going back to the word of knowledge quickly before we're done. We just have a few minutes. I often heard that when God gives us gifts, he doesn't give them for us. He gives them to us in order to minister to others.
Right. Gifts are for the benefit of the entire body, not my... Well, I'm going to back up even as I say that. I think the gift of tongues, that is what is called prayer language.
Right.
Speaking in an unknown tongue to God, which is the Holy Spirit making an utterance through me. That can be for my benefit. Can also be for the benefit of others.
Right.
But that can be to my personal benefit. But even that, if it benefits me personally, then I'm better positioned to be of benefit to the entire body of Christ.
Right. Yeah. My thing.
So, but most gifts, are for the us, for the corporate body.
Right, they're given to minister to the corporate
exactly.
body.
Exactly.
And to use those gifts the way God intended us to use them, we have to be in a position, and through other conversations we've had, we need to be in a position in order to accurately use them so that it will benefit others.
Well, I'd put it this way. Character affects the outworking of my giftedness. My giftedness is there. The gifts are given without repentance, meaning, you know, if I have a certain gift from God, he doesn't take the gift away if I'm living a shabby life. The gift is still there. But my shabby life will interfere with the healthy expression of my gift.
Right, right. And that was my whole thinking. You know, we can't live...
You can't separate the two. A man may be gifted to preach the word of God and teach the word of God, but if his moral life is shabby, he'll grieve the Spirit,
right.
and that will make his ministry less effective.
Right.
His giftedness is still there, but it's tainted.
Right.
Because he taint where he ought to be before the Lord. That's terrible, isn't it?
And I think, you know, you're right when you say that it will be confirmed. I remember you sharing in our staff chapel a number of months ago when you met with the Alliance as a whole. I think it was a meetings you had.
The Alliance there. Board of Directors.
And you felt impressed.
Yes.
With this word of knowledge about the Alliance, what God had in mind.
Right.
And afterwards, you had
a number of discerning
right.
veteran pastors and missionaries and leaders, not a room full of gullible people,
right?
Affirming that even as I was speaking it, they sensed the Holy Spirit confirming it in their spirits,
right.
and resonating.
And you even said that you felt compelled
yes.
to give this word. It wasn't something that, oh, this would be a nice thing to offer, you know, the
right.
congregants.
I didn't need attention.
Right.
And I wasn't trying to display my spiritual credentials.
Right. And do you think those things often follow with a little bit of hesitancy on our part to say, is this really something that I need to do when it's burning like
well,
that?
Well, you do need to test it within your own spirit, which is why, especially in the area of prophecy, you need to be able to intuit the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, how do you test it?
Right.
Now, you can test it against Scripture. But even there, the Spirit is the author of Scripture and critical to the right understanding of Scripture. But if something is neutral, by that I mean, for example, somebody conceiving who wasn't able to previously, that's not a moral issue. You can't
right.
go to a biblical commandment for that.
Right.
That's neutral.
Right.
So Scripture doesn't help you there.
Right.
You have to intuit the Holy Spirit there.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't separate the exercise of gifts from your level of maturity, but I think that's especially true with prophecy. For example, if you have the gifts of hospitality or help, you may be in a not real great place with God, but still be able to be hospitable and helpful.
Right.
But when you get into prophecy, if you're grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit and can't intuit the Spirit, good luck speaking
yeah.
accurately.
Yeah, you're doing more damage than anything.
Yeah, so some gifts almost necessitate a greater maturity than others.
Right. We're pretty much blew our 15-minute pro.
Well, hopefully we didn't blow it. Hopefully
format.
We used it.
Amen.
Redeemed
Amen. So,
the time.
Azu, I hope that covers some of your things, and thank you so much for writing in and giving us this topic. Again, if there's something on your heart you'd like to hear Pastor Rock expand on and teach on, please feel free to email that to me. My email address is Greg, as Pastor Rock likes to say, 3 G's, greggg.hughes@acac.net, and I will sure to get that by Pastor Rock's Dex. So thank you again, sir, for your time. And
thank you.
Always enlightening. We'll talk to you again next time.